Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. While we are to be in harmony with God's law, we are not saved by the works of the law. Yet we cannot be saved without obedience. The law is the standard by which character is measured. But we cannot possibly keep the commands of God without the regenerating grace of Christ. Jesus alone can cleanse us from all sin. He does not save us by law. Neither will He save us in disobedience to law. Our love to Christ will be in proportion to the depth of our conviction of sin. And by the law is the knowledge of sin, Romans 3:20. But as we see ourselves, let us look away to Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that we might redeem us from all iniquity. By faith, take hold of the merits of Christ, and the soul-cleansing blood will be applied. The more clearly we see the evil and perils to which we have been exposed, the more grateful shall we be for deliverance through Christ. The gospel of Christ does not give man license to break the law, for it was through transgression that the floodgates of woe were opened unto our world. Today, sin is the same evil thing that it was in the time of Adam. The gospel does not promise the favor of God to anyone who in boldness breaks His law. The wickedness of the human heart, the guilt of transgression, the ruin of sin, are all made plain by the cross where Christ has made for all of us a way of escape.
Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we are most grateful and thankful to be able to come to the studio today to prepare a message for your people. Once again, Father, we ask for a double upon your Holy Spirit, and for your Spirit to continue to be with man just a little while longer, Father, we see the signs being fulfilled, that all of us will search our lives to see whether we are ready to meet you in the clouds of glory. Because, Father, we realize when time should be no more, all cases will have been decided, and it will be our choice because we are lost. But, Father, we know that you have died for us, and you want us to be in heaven with you. So we pray that we'll continue to look into your wonderful face and into your Lord to see what it is you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to say a special welcome to those of you who are listening to us for the first time. And we want to say an extra special welcome for those who listen to us week in and week out. Once again, we're going to take a look at the commandments. If you're regular listeners to the show, you know that we have taken a look at the commandments a few times. But like the psalmist says, the commandments are broad. So we cannot never fully study the depth and width of these 10 laws that were written by the fingers of God. This afternoon, we're going to begin that study this afternoon. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Remember, we have persons manning the phone right now. So if you have any comments, any question, please give us a call. Excuse me. If you want to write to us, you can write to us at P.O. Box N8993. That's P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. At our website, you will find health tips. You'll find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Bo. We also have our email addresses for myself, Brother Paul again, and Brother Henrik. So you can contact us at our website. Now, for those of you who don't know, we will be having a live call-in show on September 11th. That's from 8 to 10 p.m. September 11th, and I think everybody kind of remembers September 11th. It's a live call-in show, and our discussion will be on the Sabbath. So if you have any comments or questions that you might want us to answer before, at least on the show, call us that we could do some research and give you a proper answer. We also, for one of the first times in our career in 4 years, we're asking the financial assistance of our listeners. So of our show this afternoon that regularly comes on this station, 1540, has been a blessing to you, we ask that you contact us, to make a contribution to assist us in our radio program and especially our live call-in shows. Because Turning Point Ministry, as you might be aware, is a self-supporting ministry. But to continue some of the programs, we are now soliciting the help of our regular listeners. Now, before we get into our regular program on the commandments, as we promise you, we're going to give you a little short burst on some biblical perspective of some of the headlines that appear in the newspapers during the past week. And here's Brother Paul with our news look this afternoon.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Well, again, this week in the paper and in the news and the television, also on the radio, we heard that the Bahamas there is not satisfied with the way things are going their way with the government. They want the government to get rid of it, and some of the stewardesses ran for work to rule. They were trying to twist the government's arm. And, you know, we told you from the Bible, this is not the responsibility of any of us to try to twist the government's arm. That's the job of the Holy Ghost, to work upon the heart of the government, because the Holy Ghost's job is to convict the world of sin and be assured that if the government is doing something that is not right, the Holy Ghost will work upon their hearts. But if you are completely out of order, whoever you might be, he or she, to go and try to make the government do that which is right. After all, the government can't make you do that which is right. And if they could, then the murder rate would have been down. Everyone is concerned about the crime rate. Just on Friday past, there were two young men and a young lady on a radio show, and they were concerned about trying to get some, at least two of the young men, they really want the government to give them license to protect their business. They want their handguns. They don't want shotguns. You know what I mean? I had to call the show and let them know, hey, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We must be very careful in the way we conduct ourselves. Remember the Bible says we must be wise as serpent and harmless as doves, meaning that some of us, we shoot off our mouths too much about what we are doing. And because of this, we are being set up and being robbed and being taken advantage of. But back to the union situation, it's not going to get worse. It's not going to get better with this situation, ladies and gentlemen, until our hearts become changed. We must always rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he said that he would do. He has promised that if he take care of the birds and the fields and all these things, he promised that he would. It's a promise. He will take care of us. And Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, we are dealing with a God that created us that definitely cannot lie.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And like I mentioned earlier, this afternoon we're going to begin a study on the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to read the first commandment to you. And the commandments, for those of you who might not know, the commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. That's Exodus chapter 20. We'll find the commandments written there. And it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Brother Paul and Brother Henry, what does it mean to have other gods before God?
Well, Brother Julian, to have an other God before could be anything you put in the place of God. But what you'll notice in this commandment, it doesn't really say who really God is. But there is a commandment we'll read to you, if not today. We should get to it, if not today, maybe next week, that tells you who is this God speaking in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, which says, God spake all these words, saying, which God is that? I can be a God. You can be a God. We, our cars can be our God. So the Bible says, we should not put no other gods before. We should not have no other gods but the God who wrote these words. In a little while, the Bible will tell us which God is that wrote these words, and is the God of all gods. And we truly believe that is God himself. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 16, it tells us that God is responsible for writing his commandments. In Deuteronomy 9:10, Brother Julian taught that it was written with the finger of God. Well, that's correct. It is truly written with the finger of God. If you should just take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 10, and you will see that indeed God wrote the Ten Commandments of God with his own finger. Notice that it wasn't the handwriting of God, according to Colossians chapter 2, but it was actually the finger of God written on tables of stone. And it has to be a God of all gods that can do that, because none of us truly can write the Ten Commandments with our finger on stone. We could write it on paper with a pen, but not with the finger in stone, as some people do with graven images and stuff like that.
Well, you know, Brother Paul, when we look at this commandment further, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is the experience that Jesus himself had in the wilderness. After he was baptized and was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that he went into the wilderness, and this can be found in Matthew chapter 4. And one of the temptations that Satan brought against him in the wilderness is this, and I'll read from verse 8, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, and it says, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10, it says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, this is another excellent example of Jesus being obedient and keeping the precepts of the law. The same God that gave us the law is the same God that walked in obedience to the law. And, you know, you have to ask the question, how many of us, if we were faced with the same test, if we were taken up and shown all the kingdoms of this world, how many of us would say, you know, whoa, I'll just bow down quickly so that I can have rulership over these kingdoms? But the Lord was, Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of this world. What a great temptation. But he still came back and he did not bow down. He did not worship the devil. So he was obedient to the precepts of the law.
What I like to add to that too, Brother Renick, is if you should turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14 to 18, you will see that in the days of The Babylonians, they worshiped Tammuz. Tammuz was a vegetarian, was a god of vegetation and pasture and things like this, of the flock. And the people in the day of Babel, the Babylonians worshiped Tammuz. And because of this, God was not pleased with that. And if you read a little bit further in chapter 8, verse 16 of Ezekiel, you will see where they were worshiping the sun. 25 men, that is, were worshiping the sun. And you also had these women were weeping over Tammuz. And God rebuked them. And in verse 17, the Bible says, and God said, then he said unto me, that's God speaking to Ezekiel, that is, hast thou seen this, O son of man? It is not a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit this abomination and they commit here. For they have filled the land with violence. Doesn't that sound like today? Have returned to provoke me to anger. God said, because they provoke him to anger. And the Bible says, and the branch was in their nose. And verse 18 says, and therefore will I also deal with them furiously. Mine eyes shall not spare, said God, neither will I have pity. Though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And that's the same thing that's happening today. Some churches are just filled with noise. Who are they trying to reach? This reminds me of the day when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. There were 451 prophets. And of the 451, only one of the prophets on the Lord's side, and that was Elijah. And Elijah had them going for it. I mean, maybe a God was on a fire journey. He maybe fell asleep. And they was making all sorts of noise. And after they finished making all that babbling noise, their God still did not hear them. And then Elijah went to work with them. And Elijah told them, let's see who God is, the real God. And Elijah had them wet up the altar. You know the story. And they threw water around the trench and everything. And Elijah's God, the God of all gods, rained down fire from heaven and burned up everything that was on the altar, the stones, the water, and everything. That's the God who we're supposed to be in charge of our lives today, ladies and gentlemen, and the other God. So today, let us make sure that our lives are in harmony with him.
Amen. You know, Brother Paul, Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to bring us back by grace, by his grace, to bring us back to the obedience of his precepts. And again, when we look through the Old and the New Testament, the scriptures do not contradict themselves, but they confirm themselves. And again, in this first commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1-3, God is saying that we should have no other gods before him, above him. No other gods whatsoever. And that can mean our money, our kids, material wealth, whatever it is. We can't put anything above the Most High God. And again, when we look in the book of Acts, we see the example of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they took their material possessions, that material wealth, and they elevated it above God, because they chose to lie to the man of God, to lie to the Holy Spirit, and say, you know, we did not have thus and so, by withholding what they should not have withheld. So they took that material possessions, that money, and they put it above God, and we see what the results of that was. But, you know, the important thing is today that we must realize that we shouldn't put anything above God. And if you could bear with me, I'd like to go back to this same first commandment. And it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, why did the Lord have to bring them out of the land of Egypt? Why did he have to bring them out of this bondage? Because the ways of the Egyptians and what was going on there were contrary to God and his word. There was idol worship, there was worship of false gods, there were all sort of abominable things going on. So the Lord had to separate them from this land. And today, it's the same God that took the children of Israel out of this bondage, out of the land of Egypt, out of this slavery, wants to separate us from bondage today and slavery today. But slavery to what? Slavery to sin. Slavery to material possessions. Slavery to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And that is what separates us from God. And it's this bondage that God wants to free us from and separate us from today.
Thank you very much, Brother Andre. The second commandment, again, the commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. So if you want to take a look at them, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're reading the second commandment now. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. Brother Paul and Brother Renway, first of all, what it is to have graven images, and what it is to bow down to them. Could you explain that for our listening audience this afternoon, please?
Yes, Brother Joe. One of the things I'd like to say about this commandment before we get into explaining it is, this commandment I listed in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 to 6, is not in the Roman Catholic Catechism. They took this commandment out of their doctrinal teachings. And if you should get a Converse Catechism, now if you get the Bible, it might be in the Bible, but if you get the Converse Catechism, or if you go to their website that is on the web, you'll notice this commandment is not there. And it's not there for good reason, because the Catholic Church is one of those churches that are guilty of making graven images. And they also bow down and worship these images. The question to be asked is any of these graven images in the world today? And like I give the answer, to that is yes. Even right here in Nassau, Bahamas, we have some graven images, like Christopher Columbus, Milo Butler, Queen Victoria. Where are they today? They are beneath the earth. And the Bible is quite clear, based on what Brother Julian read, that we should not make any graven images. Well, whether they are in the heavens above, or on the earth beneath, or on the waters under the earth. Then it goes and says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Well, there's another graven images. You know, in the days of, according to the Catholic Church teaching, they teach that the Apostle Peter was the first pope. Well, I don't know if you noticed or if you took note that when Pope John Paul II died, there were one present president and two past presidents bowing down before him when he died. It was President George Bush, President Bush's father, Bill Clinton, the former President Bill Clinton, Condoleezza Rice, also President Bush's wife, were all bowing down before Pope John Paul II. The question is, if Peter was the first pope, then why is it when Peter met Cornelius, he didn't reserve the worship from Peter? In Acts chapter 10, verse 25 and 26, Peter said, when he came into Cornelius, Cornelius came into him, and immediately the Bible says, Cornelius fell down at his feet to worship him, Peter that is, but Peter took him up saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. But in the Catholic Church, they teach that the Pope is the Holy Father. And you hear this on time for time from CNN. So if Peter was the first pope, then why did not Peter also said that he was the Holy Father and received worship? These are things we need to think about, ladies and gentlemen. We see these things and we think it's a light matter. But James 2 tells us, he or she that breaks one of the commandments is guilty of breaking all. And the Bible is quite clear. God means what he says. And verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. So today, you might not know that this was a sin to do these things. But today, mercy still lingers on. The mercy, the Bible says, is extended to you today. Yes, your foreparents may be guilty of doing these things, but today Christ calls you to walk in the light, as he in the light this day and no other day, because you do not know what tomorrow will hold for you and your family.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. When we bow down to them, when we worship them, when we serve them, is this not idolatry? And what does the Bible say about those who commit idolatry? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, and it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and I'll stop on this last one, even though there are many more. Verse 20, idolatry. These are the works of the flesh. These are not the works that Christ instructed us to do. These are not the works of the Holy Spirit, but these are the works of another spirit. These are the works of our own flesh when we are carried away in disobedience from God's word. The scriptures do not contradict themselves, ladies and gentlemen. As we said over and over again, they do not contradict themselves. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 19, and I'll read in your hearing. Acts chapter 19 and verse 26, Moreover, ye see and hear that alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. And this is the same thing that the second commandment is saying in Exodus chapter 20, that we should not bow down to any graven image, anything that we make with our hands, any statue or likeness, whether it be Mary, whether it be the Apostle Peter. We don't know who those statues are truly representations of. We don't have any picture that anyone can verify and say, this is Mary or this is Peter. And even if they were, the Bible instruction is clear. It doesn't say that we should not bow down to any images except those that are Christian or except the Mother of God. It says none. None whatsoever. We shouldn't bow down to any of them, because there's no need for us to do that. Acts chapter 19 and verse 35, it goes on to say, "And then the town clerk had appeased the people. He said, 'Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana and of the image that fell down from Jupiter?'" What is this talking about? This is talking about the people in the city of Ephesus being carried away in pagan worship. They were worshipping this goddess that they called Diana. They were worshipping a so-called god that they called Jupiter. And today we have people that in the churches that bow down to images of who they believe to be the Virgin Mary or someone else, some other saint. But the Bible instruction is clear. We should not bow down to any of them. Any means all, totality. We are not to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be obedient to the scriptures and to the commands given in God's word.
Brother Paul and Brother Henrik, you talk about graven images, but I'm sure somebody now listening to us would say, what about pictures? What about figurines? What does the Bible say on those?
Well, they all fall in the same category. If we're going to put these things, if we're going to start worshiping these things, like we were discussing among ourselves just before we began to record this program, some people just buy new clothes just to go and take that picture. You know what I mean? All these things are going to give an account for in the judgment. Why are you taking these pictures? Sometimes, you know, young ladies display themselves and also young men in some of our daily tabloids, and they put themselves on display. This is very dangerous. See, people begin to worship these pictures, ladies and gentlemen. I went to a young man's house, and he had the pictures on the wall like for a wallpaper. And he's worshiping these things, believe it or not. He's putting these things before God, like the rich young ruler. He put something before God. And what was he put before God? His money. His money that he put, and some people put their bodies and different things on display, trying to get them all pumped up and stuff. For which reason? When Christ has given you what all you need for the time in which we live. All these things are sidetracked, ladies and gentlemen, but before we know it, time should be no more. And you and I are going to give an account for every minute, every hour, and every minute of the day that we spend doing things that did not glorify the Father, which is in heaven.
That's right. Jesus Christ himself said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law." No, he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. How did he fulfill the law? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15 says, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15 in synopsis, it says that to fill up the measure of the law's requirements, to give us a living example of living in perfect conformity and harmony, conformity and harmony to God's word. That's the example that Jesus Christ left for us. So if the law isn't done away with, then these same Ten Commandments that we're studying with you today are still in effect. And those same Ten Commandments say, Second Commandment still says that we should not bow down to any graven images. We should not worship any type of image. And we must be careful, ladies and gentlemen, to follow the precepts that are in God's word. Again, I say, any means all, totality. There's no room here for anything other than what God's word says.
This commandment talks about God being jealous. What does it mean for God to be jealous? Is he jealous like we are jealous for husband and wives and things like that? What does that jealousy mean?
Jealously mean in this passage, Julian, that he loves us so much that he prefer us to only love him. He doesn't love us with a jealousy that he want to kill you, ladies and gentlemen. God is in heaven trying to see how much of he can get in heaven. He don't want to try to send you to hell. He's not waiting for you to find yourself in a compromised position, then he just out you like. No. He loves you with a jealousy that above any other jealousy. Mm-hmm. This is a loving jealousy. And this is the reason why you and I go from time to time doing things that displeases God and do not die. If it's up to Satan, he would take us out right there and then. But God jealous love for us, that is. He's very jealous. And as a matter of fact, he don't want to share you with no one else. Like husbands and wives. Which wife or husband you don't want to share their partner with someone else? They don't want to. So then even like Christ, he don't want to share us with no one. He wanted all for himself. And we be all for him and he's all for us. Like he all for us. Then we know that whatever he gives to us is for our benefit. It's not going to be something that's going to cause us to lose it on something. When he says these things, thou shalt not remember, he is saying these things because he wanted the best for his children. And he realized that if we don't pay attention to these things, the devil sooner or later will help us to get something that he knows we should not have, but because we reject his law, there's chaos, according to Proverbs chapter 3. That's the reason why it's chaos, because men and women have rejected God's law.
You know, Brother Julian, how much time do we spend with things rather than spending time with God? You know, how many of us spend hours and hours on end, you know, prepping and primming and putting new rims and all sort of ornaments in our car to make it look better than our neighbors? How much time do we spend in front of the mirror, hours and hours on end, doing and redoing our hair, doing and redoing our nails, doing and redoing our toenails even sometimes? You know, but, you know, God wants us not to become so entrapped by the things of this world and material possessions and almost idolizing them or idolizing ourselves, but to spend time with Him, reading His Word, praying, meditating on His Word, etc.
The third commandment says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Gentlemen, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain?
One of the main ways people are taking God's name in vain today, brothers and sisters, is when we say we are Christians and we know we are not. We're doing things that are outrightly contrary to the Word of God. But still, we say we want to be Christians. It reminds me of that Old Testament passage where the Bible says, "We just want to be called by your name, Lord. We want to eat our own bread. We want to wear our own apparel. Just let us be called by thy name." And that's exactly what's happening today. Almost 5,000, 4,000, 6,000 years later, Christians only want to take the name Christians. Then there's some ministers of the gospel, I should say, not Christians, that take God's name when they call themselves reverent. Well, Psalms 111, verse 9 principle still applies. Holy and reverent is God's name. Then even some ministers of the gospel who don't want to be called pastors, they want to be called fathers. Well, Matthew 22:9 still applies. "Call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." And they think it's the right thing. Remember, God will not hold you guiltless, meaning that you and I will be guilty if we continue to do these things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 give a list of names God has given us his manservants, but they don't want these names. Then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 said some can even be called bishops once they're aptable to teach. But how many bishops are lying to people today based on God's word? If I name a few of those names today, you will tell me I'm out of order. But I can assure you, if I name them, and when the prime minister finishes prime minister duties, me and him can be millionaires in the courts downtown. He mean them don't have to work no more. But the Bible says we should not sue our brother. So if I should call their name today, I know you will be upset. And there are so many. As a matter of fact, we need about 10 shows to call all the name of ministers who are leading people today. Some of them maybe ignorantly. But how would we know when they don't want to go by what the Word of God has to say?
You know, one of the questions that I ask coming off of the same commandment is, how can we avoid taking his name in vain? And I think the answer for this can be found, or partially found, in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And it says, "For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Well, what does that mean? That means that partially, when we come into the truth, into the light that is in God's word, we don't turn away from it. When we find out that, you know, there's a particular diet that's for our health, or that we should keep the Sabbath and we should keep all of his commandments, we don't turn away from it just because it isn't pleasing to us, but we decide that we're going to follow God's word come what may, because we love him and we will keep all of his commandments.
Thank you very much, Brother Ryan, Brother Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not forget September 11th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. live calling show on the Sabbath by Turning Point. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, we also need your help, some of your assistance, some of your financial assistance, continue to keep these programs on air. So mail us at P.O. Box N8993. That's P.O. Box N8993. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to repeat your commandments, to say your commandments, to learn about your commandments. Now, Lord, we ask for power and strength to follow in your footsteps, to follow in your friend's footsteps, that we may be keepers of your law and doers of your laws. I pray we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My telephone contact once again is 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Renrick Boo.
And this is Julie Miller. May the love of God go with you and your family.